your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi guys, it's George and I am coming to you from lockdown to just tell you that this podcast was recorded before the virus hit, before we were put into isolation, before we had to quarantine ourselves. And so apologies if the tone of it is slightly off. This was not the intention, but hopefully you can still enjoy the podcast and we will be making more for you whilst we are in isolation. And we just want to say a big thank you to everyone who is doing the most, getting this country running, people who are working for the NHS. We love you. You guys are amazing. And thank you for listening to Fat Chat. And please enjoy this episode.
Hello, and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that also cocks up its winged eyeliner. And this week we're going to be talking about makeup. This week we've just got George and I in the studio.
Hello.
However, we will have Rivki joining us later for her usual fashion segment.
I'm George from Fuller Figure Fuller Bust, and I often take my makeup inspiration from drag queens. Especially as Hayley hates when I overdraw my lips.
Jesus. And I'm Hayley from Curves and Curls, and I am that girl who can do a full face of makeup on the bus. Just watch me, bitch.
Yes. Snaps for Hayley. And don't forget to follow us on social media. We are at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we also have our Fat Chat community group on Facebook. So come along and be a part of the Squishy Sisterhood, or as someone called it, the Squishterhood.
So makeup can be like such a rite of passage, I think, for young
definitely.
Women. I don't know what your first memories are of makeup, but for me it was definitely like watching my mum doing it and just being so fascinated by like this really glamorous routine that she'd go through. My mum was always pretty glam when I was growing up. She still is. And she wore makeup every day, like not a super full face, but like the basics. And I mean, no matter what, we'd be home on Sundays, and she would still be wearing her full makeup, to the point where if somebody saw her without makeup, they'd be like, oh my God, what's wrong? Are you sick? Fucking backhanded compliment. What about you, George? Like, what are your first memories?
My first ever memory of makeup and wearing makeup wasn't even about seeing other people wearing it. I got given some like Barbie makeup set. There was like pink eyeshadow, blue eyeshadow, and pink lipstick. And I must have been about six or seven maybe. And the boy I had a little crush on was round. And I don't know how I thought no one would notice, but I put on the bright blue eyeshadow, the bright pink lipstick, and went downstairs. Cue my family laughing. Cue a photo somewhere, which I will try and get my dad to dig out, where my dad is holding my face so that someone can take a photo. And I close my eyes trying to like will that it didn't happen, which obviously makes the photo even better because you can see the full extent of the blue eyeshadow. I just remember thinking it was fun. You know, face paint was a thing. I loved it. But my first ever sort of actual like foray into owning makeup was when I was about 10. And my mum got me a little Body Shop eyeshadow palette that had like some sort of muted colours in that I could just put on when I went to church on a Sunday. And I remember just really enjoying that. Like, my mum is very into makeup. She is also someone who will wear a face of makeup most days. Yeah, I remember just being really fascinated by it and like really loving the idea of it.
We are both super girly girls in this way, I think. And I think it's just like that idea of it's something that you get to do at a certain age. It's like something that girls do together, something that they enjoy. And yeah, I also had, we had in South Africa, they were called Tinkerbell sets, a little bit like your Barbie makeup. And they'd have just quite sheer lip glosses with like a little bit of pink in it. And they had this really clever nail polish that would just peel off. So that like...
I remember peel on, peel off nail
polish.
Peel on, just peel off.
And I remember actually I came to like, I probably started putting a little bit of makeup on for the first time when I was like 12 or 13, a bit like you. And I remember coming to a family gathering and I had just like a little bit of eyeshadow on and probably a bit of mascara. And I remember arriving and my uncle was like, oh, are you wearing your Tinkerbell makeup today, Hayley? Like in front of the whole family to embarrass me. And I remember just being so humiliated. And I was like, no, it's not Tinkerbell. Like, I'm a grown up now.
I mean, how did he know so much about Tinkerbell makeup? That's what we have to ask ourselves.
Because he had girls. Oh, okay.
No shame. Men do better makeup than I can do. But I think a common thing I now see on social media is that, you know, let little girls be girls. Girls are wearing makeup younger and younger. I mean, it is true that these 16-year-olds do not know the pain of some of the makeup looks we went through at that age. They go straight from like blue eyeshadow and pink lips to full contour and highlight. Where was the awkward in-between stage? But I do think that a lot of little girls are just interested in makeup from a young age. And it's not about them growing up too quickly. It is about that expression and experimentation. And they have their little dolls that have a bit of makeup on. They see their mums or older sisters. I think, you know, if they want to give it a go and give it a little try, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, we had this conversation a little bit earlier. We were chatting. I think we both kind of come at it from a bit of a different angle. Because to me, I think that experimenting with the Barbie palettes and stuff like that is great. But I just don't want my 10-year-old wearing proper makeup. Not that I have a 10-year-old. Sorry, that's very misleading.
Shout out to Hayley's 10-year-old. Daughter.
Which is not really how this works. I think there's so many things that you're gonna do or be able to do for the rest of your life. It's a little bit about like kids wanting to start drinking really early or all of those things. It's like you've got your whole life to be an adult and it comes with a whole bunch of bullshit as well. There are some things you have to wait for, and sometimes waiting for them makes them that much sweeter because you know, you're excited because you get to the age. Like I think when parents say, yeah, you can start wearing a little bit of makeup when you're 13, that's not a bad thing. My mum wouldn't let me wear high heels until a certain age because she was like, no, you're little. They're not particularly good for you. They're not good for your posture. They're not good for the way you walk. And also she was just like, there are certain things you'll wait for. And to me, I'm not saying that people do or don't do them these days. I just hope that there's not more pressure to do that earlier, because we have so much pressure about the way we look from quite an early age. I wouldn't want to think that kids feel like they have to be wearing makeup super early.
I do think that's true, but I think when you are a child, you're as old as you'll ever be in your head. And I noticed this especially when I was nannying, some of the things I would say to them, and I just sort of think, you kind of have to speak to them like they're children, but you kind of have to speak to them like they are their own person. They think they know what's right. And I think, I mean, being the headstrong, stubborn little bitch that I am, you telling me, oh, but you've got years to enjoy this, I'd be like, but I want to enjoy it now. I want to enjoy it for even more years. And I think it is about the individual and individual parenting, but I just see makeup as such a wonderful self-expression, such a wonderful way to play around with things, play with friends and all of that. So yeah, I definitely sit on the side of the fence that let little girls be little girls for sure, you know, and please stop contouring at 16 because I'm scarily impressed by your makeup skills. But you know, it's just a bit of fun, and your parents will take hideous photos of you and haunt you with them forever.
Yeah, I think you saying about these amazing contouring skills, when we were growing up, we were getting, you know, once a month you get like J17 or Bliss magazine and there might be like a makeup tip for the month.
And like a little free bit of makeup.
Oh,
how exciting was that?
Oh my God, yeah. And then you'd be like, they were really expensive to buy in South Africa, those magazines, but my aunt would get me a subscription every year for my birthday. Oh. And you know how you'd often get a choice between oh my God, it was so exciting every time
you like look at the magazine like, oh, which color makeup do I want? Like,
but because mine was subscription, sometimes you just get the shit color, you know. Yay. And you just be like, no, I wanted the pink, not the brown. And then you'd try them out cack-handedly at home. I don't think I owned makeup brushes until I was well into my 20s. You'd just be doing a little bit of eyeshadow with like with that horrible foam thing that comes in the packet. Oh. Or like your finger. I still can do a good finger blend. But yeah, now you've got tutorials everywhere. This is why 16-year-olds like have better makeup skills than Kardashians. So what was your first makeup look then?
I would say like my first proper makeup look that was me, that I wore all the time, that I wore to college.
Your signature look.
My signature look, which I even remember, as I've mentioned on other podcasts, I am half Australian, I go on about it all the time. I remember like one of the girls from college was like, is that look just an Australian thing? Or... and I was like, I don't even have an accent, but sure. I was would experiment with eyeliner a lot. I'm pleased to say that, you know, I got in there early with the eyeliner and I'm forever grateful to myself for that.
Are we talking pencil or liquid?
Liquid.
Liquid.
I went in. I would do some sort of weird green in the corner of my eye with like a very light green, moving to a darker green, moving to a blue, and then ending in a purple. And wow. Then I would usually have some kind of like combo of that under
that
the eye.
Quite awful.
And blue mascara. I mean, I thought I was an artiste. The way it was ombre and it blended. They are like my favourite colour. Like that's
so
like my colour spectrum.
I know. I'm looking at Joe. I'm like, mate, that was a shit show.
I was just like, I didn't follow the crowd and do what they're all doing with the like full on pencil liner. I went for it with my weird peacock eyes. What about you, Hayley?
Cock eyes. yeah, I think I remember for me, the real look was those frosted eyeshadows. Yeah. A frosted pink or a frosted purple. Maybe like we're going to white at the center of the eyes and like round the tear duct.
Lovely. Yeah.
Lots of black eyeliner on the waterline inside, you know, just to really close those eyes right up.
Yum.
And the little silver stars worn right in the corner of your eye at the tear duct on the outside. I still stick fucking sparkly shit on my face whenever
you
I get the
You do, I was going to say. That one stayed.
That one has stayed. And so the eye makeup, actually still to this day, I think it wasn't the worst thing. But I used to have this horrible cakey concealer stick from Yardley, and it was called Oatmeal, which is ironic because that is exactly the sort of finish it gave. And I just slather that stuff over the spots that I had.
Oh, lovely. Just the spots.
Yeah.
Like nowhere else.
You know, did you never do that, like put on a little bit of concealer and just blend it out with your finger? But it wasn't blended. You just didn't want people to see that it was a spot.
Yeah.
But it so clearly was a spot, just had some oatmeal on it now.
Oh,
so bad. So bad. And then I was actually, because we were talking about this the other day, and then I was really thinking back, and I remember I'm going to post this picture on the Instagram, but J-Lo had a music video for the song Ain't It Funny. Ain't it funny how some feelings you just can't deny?
Go on,
Hayley.
You
can't hold on even though you try.
Yeah, it's like she's in the room. Yeah. Wow.
That's just the butt. And now I look at it and I'm like, it wasn't really very smoky or very dark, but for that time it was quite dark smoky. Oh my God, I got every bit of makeup there was in the house, all my mum's and everything, trying to find some like dark colours. And I spent like an entire evening in the bathroom trying to recreate this look.
Wow.
And then looking, and I did it quite well, but I was like, this is not in fashion. Like,
no.
I want to wear this, but like everybody else will be like, why have you gone goth? But yeah,
we need to see that, Hayley. We definitely need to see that.
Yeah, hers was amazing. I don't have pictures of me. I've just got pictures of what J-Lo looked like.
Oh, well.
Soz.
Maybe we need you to recreate that.
I think we're going to try and recreate our uni looks.
Oh.
Possibly because they're slightly more easy to get hold of. So what is going to be your winner? When we say recreate, we'll possibly do a video for the Instagram, maybe?
Yeah, that would be fun, actually. I'd show you guys what those old school looks were like.
Amazing.
I mean, I was full emo at university. I thought I was Gerard Way. Hi, Gerard, lead singer of My Chemical Romance. I'm coming to see you in June, coronavirus permitting. And I would do that classic thick eyeliner under the eye, over the eye, and then proper into the tear ducts. You know, that little spiky bit. Right
like,
in the
like
tear
a crow.
Ducts. Yeah, like that.
Like Black Swan.
Yep. So I fully had mastered the liquid liner, maybe a little bit too much. And then I think I used to use, weirdly, because it's not very emo, like a little bit of those bronzing bead situations from.
I feel like everyone is using bronzer then, though. Like you just had to be using bronzer.
I just had to. Yeah. I look great.
Except and for then, me. Because I just look dirty when I put bronzer on because I'm too pale.
To be fair, I do still love bronzer now. It's carried on. I don't think I would ever put lipstick on. And I actually think there were times where I would like use the foundation to almost pale out my lips a bit as well. Just to look fully kind of dead.
Like early 2000s. Well, like basically up until 2010, no one wore fucking lipstick.
No.
Lipstick sales just completely dropped off.
Yeah.
What happened?
I make up for it now.
I do remember
like rummaging through my mum's makeup and stealing some of her lipstick. I used to steal some of her foundation as well, which was not the right shade for me, but I would decant it into like little bottles and like put it on, like thinking that I was doing the right thing.
Am I right in saying that that's not the only thing that you thieved for your makeup looks?
I mean, I did five finger discount a lot of my makeup as a teenager. I wouldn't recommend it, guys.
Yeah, me too. To our young listeners, don't allow us to leave you astray. Security is a lot more hot than it was back in our day.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't know how I got away with it. But yeah, so I did anything kind of interesting looking. I did experiment with all those bourgeois, like lengthening mascaras, those plumping up lip glosses. They all went up the coat sleeve and onto the face. And yeah, quite some horrific looks were created. What about your uni look, Hayley? I'm scared for this.
I think I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, but I'd spent a year doing a lot of makeup in Selfridges when I worked there. So by the time I went to uni, I had a little bit more skills, but I still feel I didn't have much money. So the products that I brought back from the UK had to last
were shoplifted.
Yeah, and also South Africa's hot, so you didn't really want to wear a foundation because you just get like sweat that shit off in some dirty nightclub. Mm-hmm. But I wore a lot of black eyeshadow I still like a dark, moody look sometimes, you know, like I love eyeshadow. Mm-hmm. And then maybe with a sort of lighter pink or something in the corner. I mean, I don't really know what I was doing.
Wow.
Lots of eyeliner, the like pencil eyeliner. This was back before anyone was doing anything with liquid because I am a little bit older than George, despite not looking it. Burn.
She's very good at her makeup.
Welcome
then.
To the sick burns unit. A bit of lipstick or lip gloss.
Lip gloss.
Yeah.
Of course.
Like, because you just wanted to have that, like, please kiss me look.
You just wanted to get sticky things in your hair. Wait,
also,
what? Rivki, we need you to come back and rein us in.
Rein us in. Yeah. And you'd put that, like, lipstick on just before you left your res room. And then it would just come off from, like, drinking, smoking, snogging. I don't remember ever reapplying it. So why the fuck I put it on in the first place, I don't know.
That's the thing, we were a lot less vain. Well, I mean, it's not hard for me because I'm so vain now. But like, I don't remember having cam mirrors or checking on my phone. You know, you didn't check the makeup as you went.
No. No, I was too busy having a good time.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, I feel also 2000s, all the eye makeup was just about the eyes anyway. And I mean, I have always, within 10 minutes of putting my makeup on, I look like fucking Kiss. It just starts migrating down my face. Joe's laughing at me. It just starts migrating down my face and I'm like a panda, just a proper panda, but I don't care. I still wear all the eyeliner, don't give a fuck. So we would love to hear what were your old school beauty products. What are the ones that you can't get anymore? What are the ones that you still see in the shop? Shout out to Dream Matte Mousse.
Yeah, shout out to Rosie Red Corsetry, who still uses Dream Matte Mousse.
Oh, bless your heart, Rosie. But we'd love to hear all those things. So hit us up on Fat Chat at Fat Chat Pod, Facebook, Instagram. So I was really lucky because when I was 18, I came over to the UK on a gap year. Mm-hmm. And I just managed to get a job working in Selfridges in the beauty hall. So working for like lots of super fancy brands, which was amazing. It was such a cool thing to do at that age. And it was like an amazing place to work because mainly everyone who works there then, I don't know what it's like now, were like out of work actors, dancers and singers.
Wow.
Because they wanted quite a casual job where they could just like rush off to an audition if they needed to. So it was just like such a fun place to work. And it was like 18 and my first time in the big city. It was amazing. They filmed Love Actually in Selfridges while I was actually working there. They like closed
that
it down
famous
one night.
Scene.
Yeah, they like closed it down one night with Rowan Atkinson. We were all paid to be extras. Sadly, my makeup counter is in the background, but clearly I was drawing too much focus, so they made for me. Stealing that fucking scene, and Rickman nearly gave me that jewelry. it was amazing, but it did give me the very terrible thing of having extremely expensive taste in makeup.
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh my God, I got so used to all this bougie stuff. And then a few years ago, shout out to Georgina Grogan, who was the high street's gone a lot better, you know, like head off to Makeup Revolution, get yourself a palette for £7. What are you doing, babe? So now I have like a great mix, I think, of really reasonably priced makeup and quite pricey makeup. Yeah.
I mean, that is the joy of makeup nowadays. Like, I think back in the day you would go through Boots and I think even now it'd like gradually creep up in price and you'd work out which brand you could afford. This one's going to be better than this one because it's more expensive. But these days,
and also like what you can buy cheap, right? So like, you can maybe buy eyeshadows quite cheap, but you probably don't want to do that with foundation. Like,
yeah. You work out like what's the budget piece. Lip liner, budget. But lipstick, probably want to go more expensive. But these days, makeup companies have really caught up.
Oh,
and
wow.
There are so many tutorials and people out there showing you all sorts of different brands. And the most expensive brands aren't always the best. And there are so many different techniques you can use to put makeup on.
So obviously I like mainly like cut my teeth at Selfridges doing loads of makeup, which was amazing. How did you learn the basic skills?
I would say that definitely just having a mum who, you know, she takes pride in doing her makeup and she taught me about things. She often taught me things like to wear brown mascara and brown liner so that my eyes weren't too harsh, which went out the window about a month on.
Also that you were very fair when you were younger. Yeah. So maybe that was why as
yeah,
well.
She was probably just trying to help, but like, you know.
No.
But I would say mostly trial and error and experimentation.
So much.
From the age of six, you know, with my trying to impress the boy with my pink lipstick and my blue eyeshadow. Like, I've never been that worried about wanting to express myself with makeup, and I think that's definitely just taught me what I do and don't like, not to be worried about it, not to be worried about cleaning up if like I make a mistake and things like that.
Oh, so for sure,
trial and error is the way.
Yeah, and yeah, just practice. I think you can learn so much by just, if you're not going out on a Friday night, just doing an experimental makeup look for fun, like put Netflix on, watch a tutorial without sound on, fiddle around with some makeup. Like, that's exactly what I did to learn how to do liquid eyeliner. Mm-hmm. It would have been around 2009, 2010 when I decided that I wanted to do proper winged liner. And I literally just sat at home and put liner on and took it off and put it on for a whole
Your
evening.
Your eyes must have been like, yeah, like mole eyes by the end.
I was just like, okay, I've got this now. Like, I watched a couple of tutorials and it was muscle memory. I feel like that's my most asked makeup tip. People are like, how do you do winged liner? I don't know about mm-hmm. you, George. I get asked that all the time. And I'm always like, practice, buddy. Just like anything else, you just practice and then you figure it out.
I think as well with makeup, people expect there to be like one really easy tip and one really easy product. But it's so individual. Some people like yeah. sort of a harder brush to do liquid liner. I like quite a flexible brush. It is just about finding your own way with your own dexterity and your own
tools,
patience.
Yeah.
And do you have to hold your eye taut? Maybe you don't. Maybe you put a bit of tape underneath your eye and things like that. For me, that same trial and error and like working out what was good for me was when I basically learned how to fill in my brows nicely so that they didn't look like blocky brows, but they just looked done.
Fuller, yeah.
Yeah, and it took me like a big thing I do is if I have my makeup done with someone and they have a technique, they do something that I really like or they have a product I really like, I will make a note of it. I will make note to self to either buy that. You know how impulsive I am, Hayley. So probably on the spot I'm buying stuff while they're trying to put liquid liner on me. But yeah, I will just like keep trying something, trying new products. If things work for me when someone's actually doing my makeup, then they'll work for me out in the real world. As much as tutorials are great, it is literally about what works for you.
So what is your makeup routine now?
I am very much an all or nothing. I am not like your mother. She would be horrified by me because...
No, she loves you, really.
Thank you. I love you too, Lucy. Please adopt me. generally, I have no qualms with wearing absolutely zero makeup. I actually really like the transformation of going from like nothing to everything with clothing, with makeup, with all of it. So my day-to-day is usually like a bit of Epiderm on there and I can't help
moisturizer,
it. That's moisturizer, yeah. I can't help it. If I put a little bit of makeup on, I have to go all the way. There's no really such thing as like a subtle look for me. I just can't stop myself.
You put the B in subtle.
I do. What about you, Hayley?
When I was working full time, like obviously now I work from home mainly and I'm freelance, but before that, I wore makeup every day. For me, I just...
Well, it was professional, wasn't it, for you? You would wear
yeah,
it
like,
in the office and it just feels, you feel a bit
put
together.
For me, it's a part of my armour. Like, I definitely mm-hmm. feel more confident and more comfortable. Like, I'm totally fine with that. And I would never have dreamt of going into the office or something without makeup at that time. Mm-hmm. And or social occasions, really. And I remember when I hadn't been living in the UK for a while, I moved to Earlsfield, which is like a little suburb in London. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely chock-a-block full of South Africans, and it's kind of
note
weird
to self, like, to Elsfield.
No, stay fucking clear. Shout out to the Wandle. I lost many nights in that place. But yeah, it's this really weird microcosm where it's a certain point. If you were like a white South African from a certain area and a certain socioeconomic group, you would probably end up in that fucking suburb. Mm. And so I could be in my hometown back in South Africa and bump into less people that I'd gone to primary school with than I would in this part of London. It was so fucking crazy. And so sometimes you'd be like hungover as shit on a Sunday and go to Sainsbury's to get an emergency Coke. Hello, the red ambulance. Mm-hmm. And you just bump into someone you haven't seen since pre-primary. Oh, hi, Ross. It was just like this really weird thing. And I remember like I used to get quite like, oh God, I should probably put some makeup on, because then you realize realize, again, I have run out of fucks to give. So actually, talking about not wearing makeup, I realized that how I was just, how different I look with or without makeup, depending on how much I wear. Because when I was getting on the plane to go to my brother's wedding, I was like, it's going to be like a really long flight. I don't want makeup on. I'm going to just probably go to sleep straight after takeoff, whatever.
He got married in the Caribbean, didn't he?
Yeah.
So bougie bastard.
Yeah, it's quite a long flight. And I got on and a lot of our friends were like flying out as well. We were on the same flight and we hadn't met up in the airport, but we were all just sitting in the same area and stuff. And I got on and afterwards, my friend Diana, hi Diana. Mm-hmm. she was like, oh my God, when you first got on, I didn't know if it was you because like you just looked really sick and tired. And I was like, Jesus Christ, you hurt me fucking, you cut me deep.
This is my fear. This is why I quite like the not wearing makeup. I don't want people to make comments about me looking sick, especially not in this climate, guys. I don't want that.
I mean, now I don't really wear makeup most days. I do enjoy, like you were saying, George, the transformation when I do. I think at one point I got very much into this Instagram makeup, which is quite full on and is for the camera.
And from the neck down, it's like,
yeah, just
that
pajamas,
does not match.
Pajamas. No, but I mean, like when going to events and stuff like that, like I will put on quite a bit of makeup. But I've realized that in my, in brackets, real life, I don't really like wearing that as much makeup. When we go to Turkey, my skin is so amazing in the sunshine and I feel like I like to wear like a little bit of eye makeup and stuff like that, but I don't have to do that full face. And I kind of like that. When you're going to events and being having a lot of photographs taken and stuff, it's kind of a different thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm quite glad that I've found a bit of a happy medium for when I'm wearing makeup otherwise.
That is my happy medium, actually. When I'm on holiday, I will wear lipstick and that's it. Because you're wearing sunglasses if you're out and about.
Yeah.
And then you're sweating so much anyway.
You've got
so
that like, sheen. You don't need that highlighter.
You don't need the highlight. And then your lips just look good. Like, that is my top holiday tip. You can have that one, guys. There does come that argument, doesn't there, Hayley? Like, there's that fine line that we tread as women or as people who wear makeup. Are we doing it for us? Are we doing it for other people? Are we doing it to look like we've just had an orgasm, which is meant to be the point of flushed cheeks and, like, you know, good
clown lips?
Yeah, like, that's apparently how I look. What are your thoughts on that?
It's really good to understand where makeup comes from and why we wear it. But I think often, you know, when people say, oh, well, men prefer women who don't wear much makeup, I'm like,
good, I'm going to put shitloads on.
Well, I'm just like, good for men. I don't wear makeup for men. I do definitely wear it for myself. And a lot of the time I wear it for other women because I know they're like, oh my God, that looks amazing. How did you do that, girl? Like, and they're the one that's going to notice. They know what took time. And for me, it's like, there's an artistry to it that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's a creative thing. But I certainly, I don't feel like I'm doing it for other people. And maybe it was a bit different when I was younger. Maybe it was more about
attraction.
Yeah. Whereas now I think, you know, realizing what you're doing, it may be, it may have been a tool of the patriarchy, but nowadays it's very much a form of self-expression. And for me, like, I don't think people are joking when they say it's war paint. Like, I feel more confident when I've got it on.
If I'm
going to a tough meeting, if I'm having a difficult discussion with somebody, if I'm in a shop and I get shit service and have to have an argument, I feel so much more powerful when I've got my fucking brows on fleek. In my mind, no doubt, but I know that it's what makes me feel confident.
And if you do want to wear makeup for attraction, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to attract people,
of course not.
And if we were to wear makeup that was for men, wouldn't we be drawing the five-a-side football pitch on our face or something? Like, what would that even look like?
Ooh,
like,
you could stick like an iPad to your forehead and they could just watch the football.
Yeah, just, you know, like, makeup for men does not look like fucking highlighter and like incredible lipstick. I promise you that. That is for women, that shit.
So we would love to hear about your makeup mishaps, what you love, what you don't love. Do you wear makeup? Don't you? We're all good with that. So have a trawl through your makeup bag and let us know at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. So it's time for our self-care tip of the week. And this week, the segment has been sponsored by DHC.
We love you guys.
We do love them. They make the most brilliant deep cleansing oil that George and I are both massive fans of.
So obsessed with.
So our tip this week is basically just to make sure that you remove your makeup properly. You just want to make sure you get your skin really good and clean, whether you've been wearing a lot of makeup, whether you've been traveling on public transport, pollution, whatever. I tend to use it as part of a double cleanse, also with their cleansing powder, and I find it absolutely incredible.
So DHC's deep cleansing oil is so popular that one sells every 10 seconds worldwide.
I can totally see why.
It's incredible. I was in Japan a few years ago and I did see a lot of advertisement there, and that is where the brand are from. They are Japanese, and yeah, one every 10 seconds. Mind blown. Their cleansing oil melts away makeup, even waterproof mascara. I can testify to that. And also any waterproof eyeliners. And it dissolves the impurities. Then you rinse that off with warm water and there is zero residue left on your face.
Yeah, like I thought the oil would kind of leave behind, but it doesn't.
It's so good. Like I used it and immediately did an IGTV about it, so you can go back through my IGTVs because I was so like, this is witchcraft. Wow.
Their star ingredient is antioxidant-rich olive oil, so that protects your skin against free radical damage. It's also fragrance and colorant-free, as all their products are, which is amazing. George and I both have sensitive skin, mm-hmm. and that is such a goodie.
I was making Hayley stroke my skin on the way here, and it's feeling good at the moment, guys. Thank you, DHC.
So we have an amazing 20% off promo code for Fat Chat listeners. The promo code is Fat Chat, and you can use that on both US and UK DHC sites. We'll be linking them on our social media, but that code is valid until the end of May, so make sure you get on there and use that 20% off. The code is Fat Chat. Get all your cleansing goodies now.
Yes. Now it is time to get some fashion advice from our very own pro, Rivki.
This week is a little different. We're not going to be doing fashion, but we are going to be talking about makeup trends. Now, I wouldn't say makeup is my area of super expertise, but I'm a whiz when it comes to the catwalk. And so I can tell you what the big summer makeup trends are from the runway. First up is colourful eyeliner. There was so much of this on the catwalk. Magazines have gone wild for it. And do you know what? It's so funny because I think, you know, for those of us of a certain age, I'm in my almost mid-30s, colourful eyeliner was where it started for me. Gosh, I've seen some pictures recently of me with blue eyeliner, and I think to myself, why? Why did I do that? And I think anyone that was kind of the same era is probably thinking, really? Are you sure? But yes, colourful eyeliner is back in a major, major way. And there are still some really great colourful eyeliners out there. I still love Urban Decay when it comes to pops of colour. And I think really shop around, have a look. And also, seeing as it's quite trend-led, don't spend loads on buying products for it. Get some cheap, fun products. Have a go. See what you like. Look on Instagram for inspiration. I'm going to pop my favourite coloured eyeliners and also my favourite inspiration of how and what to do with it, because I think people are getting really creative. You know, makeup isn't just about covering up. It is a form of artistic expression. And I think the runway is a really great place to take that and then try those looks and inject them into your everyday life. So you don't have to go as wacky as the catwalk, but you can if you want. Pops of blue. See, the blue eyeliner and eyeshadow, it's coming back to bite us. Every trend comes around again. That's what you have to remember. Really, really big on the runway as well. White eyeliner. Again, another thing from my teenage years. See, we were just so ahead of our time. Big trend for catwalk. Also great in the summer because, you know, that's when it, although you're worried about spilling an ice lolly and some iced coffee down yourself, white is that kind of like really fresh summer colour, isn't it? So if we're going to wear it, why not put it on our eyes as well? But interestingly, with all this kind of newness and excitement and artisticness, at the same time, we're seeing a resurgence of those real classics, like a classic red lip, which I think never really goes out of fashion, but every so often it comes back onto the catwalk in a major way. I'm still loving sort of like those kind of Ruby Woo styles from MAC, but a really big one for me, if you're looking to splash or you've got a voucher for like a department store, try Tom Ford. I personally think the pigmentation is amazing. They are expensive, maybe ask for it for a present, but the pigmentation on Tom Ford lipsticks is just amazing. I bite my lipstick off and I'm really awful at keeping it on, but I do love, 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 love Tom Ford pigmentation. And I will pop my favourite colours up over on our Instagram and Facebook. And then also structured brows. I feel like brows have been a really big trend for several seasons. Maybe it's still the Cara Delevingne effect, but that really great strong brow, still really good for the summer. Finally, lip stains. Now, the joy of a lip stain is that it's subtle, it doesn't need a retouch, and it's a really fresh look for the summer. So we're thinking those kind of really lovely pinky, fresh looks. Again, very matte rather than glossy. And if you head over to @FatChatPod on Instagram and Facebook, I will be popping up my favourite products and my favourite inspirational looks to get that whole summer makeup vibe. I hope that's been helpful and a bit fun. I look forward to seeing you guys all playing with some new makeup ideas and getting that colourful eyeliner out. I think we should have a day where we all just put colourful eyeliner on and see how it goes. Blue for the win, right?
So we thought we'd end today just by talking about some of our absolute top tips for makeup wearing in the summer, because obviously it is hopefully, by the time this goes out, getting sweaty out there, God willing. Yeah. George, what are some of your top tips?
Probably my number one tip, because this is something I really adhere to, is that I lighten up my foundation in the summer. I either go for like a BB cream or just nothing at all, really. I let my skin breathe. I've usually got a bit of a tan. I'm usually sweating a lot anyway. And it just feels really nice to sort of let that skin breathe.
Oh, totally. Like when you come back from holiday and you have that lovely glowy skin. Mm-hmm. And if you, obviously make sure you're still wearing your SPF, but if you can wear a light to no foundation, that's perfect. Great. For me, I think like following on from that sweaty point, like I'm a sweaty bitch as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably something that comes with the plus size territory. Like, let's not lie. I think I love a facial spritz. So we obviously were talking about DHC earlier and they do a really good collagen spray. Oh, it's so nice.
So nice.
It's so refreshing. And so for me, I often use it, like especially if it's sweaty and I have to wear a lot of makeup for a shoot or something in the hot weather, I'll spritz it in between doing layers of makeup.
And just refresh.
Lovely. And that's fine. Like especially if you're not using powder, if you're mainly using cream products, that's great. And I always, George can testify to this, like everywhere I go, I have facial spritz in my bag just to freshen things up. And it can, especially like after a long day at work or something, can freshen your makeup as well as stopping you from looking sweaty. That is my top tip.
Being a bigger girl, I find I'm also quite sweaty. And one thing that I really like that DHC do are these little, so cute, like little blotting papers. So sometimes if I'm doing my makeup and I am getting a bit warm, I might like stick them on. I look like a human flypaper. like stick them on and just like absorb some
almost like
sweat.
Post-it notes.
Yeah. Right, kick me on them. But they can be really handy to keep in your handbag when you're out and you don't want to like use a tissue and dislodge everything. These you just simply pop them on and then pull them off, and they don't really move your makeup around, but they just take that layer of sweat off.
Can I see if I can get like a picture of you on the tube this summer?
You just need it. My clammy body. What an image.
Yeah, and I think if you're going away thinking about eye makeup, like it can be a really good idea to invest in some waterproof eyeliner or mascara.
Especially because that DHC oil will melt that shit off.
Yeah,
no problem.
Straight off. But yeah, I think it's just like a really good idea to invest in that, because even if it's like not durable enough to like last for a day in the pool, it just means that if you are a bit more sweaty or if everything is just getting a little bit more damp, like it's more likely to stay in place. But we would love to know what your summer tips are. So you can hit us up on the social media at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Every week we are going to be shouting out some brilliant accounts that we think that you should be following, because the only diet you should be on is a social media diet. Guys, you know that by now, right? And this week we are shouting out Laura Capon. I hope I've said it right. Capon, Capon, I believe Capon. She is at LAUCAPON on Instagram, and she is Cosmo's beauty editor, and she is a beautiful plus size babe. Yeah. And she often does sort of, she reviews new makeup that she's tried, she reviews new releases, she also has sort of empties, things that she's like used up recently that she's really loving, and she's just really honest, really funny, really clear and concise. She's honestly, her videos are like really calming to watch, all these IGTVs, and I've met her and spent time with her, and she's just as lovely and passionate about makeup in person. So she is one that you should be following, and we will be linking her over on our social medias at Fat Chat Pod. So if you have forgotten that already, we will be linking her there.
So alas, that is all for this week, my beautiful, beautifully gilded lilies.
Thank you, Hayley.
This has been a Secret Recordings podcast. We have new episodes every Tuesday. And next week, we're going to be talking about living life online and social media. Speaking of social media, you can give us a follow at Fat Chat Pod. And do not forget to join our amazing community of women, the Fat Chat Community Facebook group. You can find it just by searching Fat Chat Community on Facebook. Remember to subscribe wherever you're listening. And if you're on Apple, don't forget to hit that 5 stars and leave us a review. What have you got, George?
So this is from Dark IIC, and they're in Ireland. Hello, I won't do a horrible accent. They have said about the podcast, it's very relatable and super funny. Excited for each new episode. Thank you so much.
That's all for this week, guys.
See you next Tuesday.